As I've said before, coming from the Midwest, I am constantly fascinated by the ways of New York. They are intriguing. And I've discovered here that one principle, among the many that guide people around here, is if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. I know I'm probably not the only Bugs Bunny fan in the congregation today. Yes, there are a couple out there. I remember one of those Bugs Bunny cartoons from the 1940s. It was called Bowery Bugs. And Bugs Bunny was a New York bunny in that particular episode. And he was really good at what he did. One of the things he managed to do was sell the Brooklyn Bridge to some unwitting tourist. Now, that would never happen to a New Yorker, no, because here that observation about life has been thoroughly absorbed. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. You know, none of us, I'm sure, have fallen for any email scam asking us to share bank account information, and we would promptly get $3 million if we did so. And none of us falls for that. That principle, though, has a little caveat in it. A little tweak. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. It probably is. Let's focus on the probably. Why is the probably there? Because we have had experiences where things too good to be true really are true. Really and truly are true. And the place where that probably comes from, we read it today. The resurrection. That seemed too good to be true for the apostles. When they heard that testimony from the women about the angels at the empty tomb, they didn't believe. When the women came to him and said they had even seen the risen Lord, no, they didn't believe. He is standing in front of them in this particular reading, and it says they were terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. We're so used to Easter. We do it every year. We fill the church for it. We light the candle. It's part of our culture. We don't realize how stunning and unexpected the resurrection was for the apostles. They were totally blown away when they saw the risen Lord before him. When he took that piece of fish, all they had was leftovers, right? That was something for our Lord. He took the piece of fish, ate it in front of him. In the gospel reading we had last week, when he showed his wounds to Thomas and asked him, touch these wounds, see, I'm here, I'm real. The Lord wants us to know, if it seems too good to be true, this is one thing that is. Now, there's another very important thing that is very true, and something that we at times have a hard time believing as well. It's written here in the words of our Lord. He says, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name. Okay? Part of the hugely important message of the resurrection is right there. The forgiveness of sin. Because what does our Lord defeat with his resurrection from the dead? Death! That's what gets the, you know, between the eyes. Death is brought down. Death is defeated. What death? Physical death? He breaks the chains of physical death. He comes out of the tomb, body and soul, reunited in glory. But also spiritual death. Spiritual death. What's sin? It's like death anticipated. He breaks that bond too. He breaks that chain as well. You know, that's the important thing too. That's where we live in anticipated resurrection ourselves, where we can experience Easter, the true Easter, the Easter of our Lord's coming back to life. We experience it in our own souls when we feel touched and forgiven by God. That is so important. That's why it's in the creed. That's why it's in the words our Lord says here. It's an important experience that we need to have. There was a very interesting movie in the 80s called The Mission. It was about this kind of Robert De Niro played this man. It was set in the 1600s. He accidentally kills his brother, and he has such an amazing experience of guilt and pain that he had done such a horrible thing that he decides he's got to go and do penance. So he leaves and joins the Jesuit missions. Okay, it's set in the 1600s in Latin America. And to do his penance that expresses the guilt he experiences, he's got all his armor because he's one of those, you know, knights types from the 1600s. All his armor. It's in this big, huge ball. It must have weighed 100 pounds. And he's dragging it behind him as he's going and trekking through the jungle to join the Jesuit mission in one of these places where they were ministering to the native peoples there. And he's just dragging it. It was slowing him down. He couldn't get rid of it because it was his burden. It symbolized all his guilt, all the evil that he had committed. Because not only did he kill his brother, he had been an oppressor of these peoples, and now he's going to serve them along with the Jesuits. And when he gets up to the top after having trekked through and all that, he meets the peoples that he had enslaved before. And you know what they do? They cut the rope that's holding that armor that symbolizes all his evil, all his sin, and they throw it over the cliff. And he joins this group of priests in order to serve these people. And you can see that when the tears come to his eyes, when he experiences this powerful moment of forgiveness, that's the moment. That's what we're talking about here. The forgiveness of sins. The resurrection and the forgiveness of sins goes together, hand in glove. They are part of the same powerful mystery and experience that we have to have. And that is why there are two places where we really experience Christ, the power of His resurrection, in just an amazing way as Christians. The confessional and the Christian deathbed. It's been an amazing experience for me. You know, in the confessional, you just see this happen. You know, Cardinal George, a great cardinal, he just passed away. And I'll never forget something he said in an interview a couple years ago. He just died of cancer this week. He talked about as a priest, as a bishop, hearing confessions, and when he was going into retirement, how he's going to spend his time doing that much more frequently. He said, "The conversations that take place in the sacrament of confession are the most important conversations on the face of the planet." Powerful way of putting it. There you meet a soul in the presence of God. You know, this last Holy Week, I must have, all of us priests, hundreds and hundreds of confessions and that experience. It was like the resurrection coming and visiting these people, kind of taking them over. And then the Christian deathbed. There is, I You know, the times that I have been blessed to be able to accompany a soul that way, you just see. Christ comes to that person. The Blessed Mother must be. They're leading them into the resurrection. And it's an amazing thing to watch and to be a part of. Because there, that's where the hope is. That's where the belief. It doesn't end here. This isn't the end of the story. It's just the beginning. That's what the resurrection is all about. Okay? So yeah, we're skeptical about things. Too good to be true. Be careful. Don't get taken for a ride. But the experience of that the apostles have had and that we have as Catholics teaches us that there is nothing as good or truer than the resurrection, and that we have to embrace that reality. And what our Lord calls us to do at the end of this gospel is very important because it's very committing. He says, "You are witnesses of these things." You are witnesses of these things. In other words, I am charging you with the mission of bringing this message to the world. Just can't sit in the pew to do that. Okay? We've got to proclaim this message all around us. To the people we love, the people we know, at work, in the parish, schools, wherever we're at, we have to be witnesses of the goodness and the truth of Jesus risen from the dead and of the joy that he brings us, the joy in the, that he brings us as he takes away our sins and as one day he will guide us into eternity. So let us thank him for this blessing, thank him for the resurrection, and ask us to help us to be his witnesses.